Tonight's episode of CNC Reviews on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include the /PWP Radio so they know we sent you.
We here at CNC Reviews would like to remind you to turn off your cell phones and remain as quiet as possible during the show.
And before you start asking questions, we are not kidding. If you don't stay quiet, I will go ghetto on your ass.
Unless you want a large black man beating the shit out of you, I would shut the fuck up.
You're damn right.
Please, sit back, enjoy the show, and remain courteous to your fellow listeners.
Or you know what will happen.
Alien.
No, don't please. Toy with my emotions.
I can't help it, man. I love Muhammad Hassan, too.
Don't toy with my emotions, man. I hear that music, I might cry. That's how much I miss Muhammad Hassan.
Don't cry. Don't lose your smile, Jamie.
Oh, that's nice.
Guys, when you say, don't say things about Muhammad Hassan, because then Jamie loses his smile.
All right.
You can't have Jamie lose his smile.
All right. All right.
Well, anyway, we got a stacked show for you tonight. We got so much delicious, delicious content for you.
Not even going to introduce who you are. Maybe some people will forget.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I am Caleb Johnston. And Cameron is still on vacation, so from the show.
Yeah, this guy gets to pick. You know what? I remember one time I had a vacation on that other thing that we used to do. I forget the name of it, but I remember I took a little bit of a vacation. I took a one-show vacation. One show. This guy gets, what, this is the third week in a row?
This is the third week in a row, yes.
What does this guy have in his contract? I didn't get that. I only got one show off. One show. One. That's it.
Yes. And my contract says I have to be here no matter what the fuck happens. So I've been here for 19 goddamn episodes.
Now look at that. You've been here for 19 straight weeks.
Yes, this is true. Well, besides the week we took off for Christmas, that then no one did the show that week.
I don't think anybody did anything that week.
No one did anything that week.
Nope.
Fuck. Well, nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, we have so much for you, and a random thing that I didn't know I was going to do on the show until, like, 2 hours ago. Which is discuss my idea on the WrestleMania 30 card and the dream scenario of what can happen. No, it's not the kind of weird matches we saw from WWE Universe apparently tweeted earlier. These are actual matches that I think should happen. Because their scenario says that the Shield wouldn't break up. That's so stupid. Because they're trying to trick you into thinking the Shield isn't breaking up after Elimination Chamber. Because they are kids. They are. Listen to me. I'm going to be the Jesse Ventura of the evening. Listen to me. The Shield, man, the Illuminati, aliens, time travel, the Shield's breaking up. Yes. And, Jesse Ventura is so awesome. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much shit we're going to discuss. Raw. Got the top fives, like always. Got fucking movie review, another random movie, because we only review one movie when it's just me and Jamie. I got a sneeze. We got fucking...
Well, then friggin' sneeze, then.
Well, I'm going to sneeze. Well, you have to wait, Jamie.
Well, force the sneeze out, damn it. Force it out. Just...
You can't just force it. Well, now it's gone, James. Good job.
Yeah, look at that. I scared off your sneeze. I scared your sneeze away.
And a big note this week... Wooly did not show up, so I'm not having my Punjabi prison match this week.
Oh, yeah, because we all look so much forward to that one. Because we all know how successful the Punjabi prison match was.
Yes. Oh, we do. Oh, my God. I don't think anyone who weighed less than, like, 300 pounds ever competed in that match.
Well, the only guys to do it was Big Show, Taker, Kali, and Batista. So, no regular heavyweight competed in that match.
Punjabi prison. Well, it's too bad. I didn't get the chance to tie up Wooly's green dreadlocks in the fucking Punjabi cage. But that's okay, because we got a bunch of other shit for you tonight. And that is, I'm going to start it off, not with the movie review of a really awesome Denzel Washington movie I was not expecting to be so awesome, but with my WrestleMania 30 card. Now, as you know, last year's WrestleMania wasn't that great. And a lot of people are saying this year's WrestleMania is going to be shitty. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. I have 11 matches here that prove otherwise. You listen. It's time. Get it? See, Jamie? Get what I said? Gregory?
Yes, Hunt. Caleb, we get it. Is it Caleb time again?
It's time, it's Caleb. Okay, never mind. I'll get to that later. Nonetheless.
What story are you reading this time?
So many. Okay,
are you gathering up the kindergarten children around a story time?
Yes, I am. I'm going to read them Game of Thrones. They'll love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got midgets fucking prostitutes and shit.
Yes, because that's what every child needs to learn about.
Every child should watch Game of Thrones. It's educational.
All right. Whatever you say, Caleb.
Okay. Nonetheless, this is the WrestleMania 30 card that I think we need, and this is the dream WrestleMania 30 card for me. Now, all y'all listen. Now, Jamie has not heard this card yet. So,
no,
this is live reaction.
I can actually confirm right now I have zero knowledge of this card. So, who knows what it could be.
All right. The pre-show. A battle royal of every superstar who is actively competing, who is not a part-timer, who is not anything, every superstar who is not on the WrestleMania card in like a 30-something man battle royal, or the winner will get a United States or Intercontinental Championship match on pay-per-view by the end of the year.
So, kind of like Money in the Bank?
Yeah, but with United, but mid-card titles.
All right.
Because
opening
match. Go ahead.
I remember, I think it was Over the Limit 2012. They had something similar like that. But I think it was at the beginning
of the Power Battle Royal.
Yes, where I think Christian won it, and he chose between the U.S. title and the IC title. But yeah.
But this is not for that night. It's just for any pay-per-view. So from Extreme Rules TLC.
Okay.
Okay, then the opening match for the WWE Tag Team Championships, the New Age Outlaws versus the Usos.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, good match. Like, really, who else is there for the New Age Outlaws to face?
Yeah.
There's really not many face teams.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, right now, I mean, given the whole thing right now, I believe Kyle said this on Grimm's show, I believe, last week or the week before, but he said that, you know, New Age Outlaws are the transitional tag team champions right now, and it's obvious that they are.
Yes.
But, and it's also great because I believe, like he said, it gives that nostalgic feel to it. You know, New Age Outlaws, tag champions again, six-time tag team champions of the world. So,
indeed.
So yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can see them dropping them to Usos at some points. But definitely Mania would be a good stage because that would get the Usos over because Usos right now are on fire. Currently right now they're my favorite tag team. They've been my favorite tag team for a while. So, yeah, definitely Usos right now are the next big team on the rise.
Oh, definitely. And then, of course, Usos will win that match.
Yeah.
Like, New Age Outlaws do not need – the New Age Outlaws, I guarantee you – honestly, I think this match is going to happen. I don't even think it's just a dream. And then we got the second match on the card, which is for the Intercontinental Championship, and that is no longer Langston, just Big E versus Mark Henry.
We'll get to those changes later on in the show.
We will.
But yeah, let me see. Big E versus Mark Henry. That one I can see being a lot better than Mark Henry versus Ryback last year.
Oh, God, yes.
That one I think would be pretty good because Big E would get the rub from being in the ring with a guy like Mark Henry, a guy who's been in there 20 plus years. And I mean, I don't see it being like a 5-star classic, but definitely really good though.
He'll get a good rub from beating Mark and retaining the title with a big ending.
There you go, and definitely of like, you know, a guy of like his, you know, a guy of Mark, of a guy.
Yes, and then match number 3 might be one of the most unlikely matches to happen, But that is the return, and it's honestly, here's the reason. Even though the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is still happening, I could see it being like this. Like, we still have two Money in the Banks, just one at the... Wait, okay, never mind, that's a stupid idea, but whatever, just go with it. Is we have a Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank pay-per-view and at WrestleMania. Shut up. Just let that. Let me dream. Let me dream,
well,
people.
They did that in 2010.
Yes, but they had three Money in the Bank matches that year.
Yes.
So this is my idea for this Money in the Bank match. Sheamus versus Christian versus Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz versus Ryback versus Curtis Axel versus Kofi Kingston versus Damian Sandow. All eight guys, Money in the Bank. I think that'd be great.
That would actually be a pretty interesting mix. Let me see. Kofi usually always has his, like, big, huge spots, like, each year at Mania, and also in the ladder matches when they used to be at Mania, like, at 25. I think he was climbing the ladder as Mark Henry was, like, holding it up.
Yeah, and then he's on the stilts and a bunch of other shows.
Yep. That one, I can see him having, like, his Mania moment that year. Sheamus hopefully will not land through another ladder and hurt himself again. Curtis Axel, I can see him being just a pawn in there, really.
Same with Ryback.
Ryback, I can see him having maybe a little bit of a moment, maybe like lifting two guys who are on like the same ladder, never know.
The thing with this, though, also, is my favorite part about this match, honestly, all eight guys have a reason that they possibly should win.
Yes. Now, who's your winner?
That's, honestly, I was thinking either Christian or Ziggler.
You see, all right. The thing with Christian is, as much as I like Christian, I don't see him having another world title reign. I think 2011 was his big year.
Yeah, especially now that we only have one title.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, Christian, just for some reason, I just do not see him having another title reign now, especially, like you said, with the titles now being unified. I don't see that happening. Ziggler, I think his time has come and gone, honestly. But then again, you know, like, and people can say this however they want. He's being buried by management. No, Ziggler buried himself.
Yeah, we've discussed this on the show.
Yes.
If not Ziggler, then I would say, honestly, probably Sandow.
Sandow. Now, see, the only problem with that is he's already cashed it in and lost.
Yeah. Okay, so honestly, the safest bet for this match, probably Sheamus.
You know what? Yeah, Sheamus, I can definitely see being champion again at some point. I mean, but see, you know, right now, you see, that's why I wasn't very huge on the titles being unified, because now there's less of a chance seeing guys like Sheamus and guys like Christian and guys like Ziggler being champion, because WWE is going to want to put the title on the biggest possible name. That's right. That's why right now it's on Randy Orton. And whether people like it or not, Randy Orton is a big star. Randy Orton is a recognizable name. But yeah, definitely safest bet, I would say, is go for Sheamus.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say, because that is one thing, too, is if Sheamus wins it, you know they're not going to have him lose when he cashes in.
Oh, no.
Then, match number four is the no-brainer, biggest match we can confirm, and that's Cody Rhodes versus Goldust. Obviously,
yes.
Rhodes would have to win this.
Yes, Cody Rhodes versus Goldust, definitely, I think it's going to happen this year. Now that they're not champions anymore, definitely, I can see that match happening. How they would go about it, I'm not entirely sure. You know, maybe they could lose, like, another random match, maybe against Ryback and Curtis Axel, the way how they split up primetime players. You know, just have Goldust, you know, just completely just like snap and just turn on him and just be like, and, you know, play up the whole, I'm sick and tired of being a loser and such, and, you know, like, you're dragging me down. Just like go with that generic type of story. And then
Goldust will be like, I came back here to fight you.
Yeah.
I came back here to help you. Now I want to fight you, or some shit like that.
Yeah. Something like that. And this, Cody Rhodes needs to be the face. If Cody,
oh.
tur- If Cody turns on Goldust, it's not going to make a lick of sense at all. Goldust.
It would have made sense in 2012. Rhodes being the heel would have made perfect sense.
Yes, but now it's a different time. Cody Rhodes is over as hell right now. So have him be the face going into this. If he's not, it's not going to make any sense. So definitely have Cody go over Goldust in this one. You have a new star established in Cody Rhodes. Not that he already isn't.
Yes. And then matchup number 5 is probably one that I'm not too crazy about and you're not too crazy about, but it just is the most logical choice for the Divas title, and that's AJ versus Tamina for the Divas title.
Yeah, and you know what? And, you know, I can see a lot of AJ marks. I can see a lot of AJ fans are saying, we could compare this to Shawn versus Diesel. No, first of all, you're not comparing anything like that to Shawn and Diesel. We're going to get that out of the way right now.
Don't you dare compare AJ to fucking Shawn Michaels.
Actually, I don't think a lot of AJ's fans are even old enough to even know what what WrestleMania Shawn Michaels versus Diesel took place at. But
I own that shitty fucking WrestleMania.
But anyways, yeah, AJ versus Tamina. I'm just saying this right now. I'm thinking, like, this would be hilarious, but I'm thinking have AJ versus Lita, CM Punk be the referee. I'm thinking that would be just tremendous. But anyways, AJ versus Tamina. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of obvious that it's going to go down that path at some point. I'm saying have Tamina win. Anything to get that title off AJ.
Yeah, I want to get the title off of AJ as much as you do, but I don't think Tamina will win it.
Yeah.
Then matchup number 6 is another match I think we can almost confirm at this point, and that is for the United States Championship, Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you that keep saying Roman Reigns should have won the Rumble for the last time,
next year.
Next year is going to be the year of Roman Reigns. I don't know what they're going to call it. You know, maybe call it something like how Orton had the Age of Orton. I don't know what they're going to name it, but
next year, rambunction of Roman Reigns.
Rambunction of Roman Reigns, if you want to go with that. But next year is going to be Roman Reigns' year. 2015 is going to be the year of Reigns. But yeah, this year, Roman Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose, I can see Roman Reigns winning this. And I find this very, very funny because 10 years ago, WrestleMania 20, you had John Cena win the U.S. title and that established a new star in him. 10 years later,
we were talking about this the other day.
Exactly. 10 years later, same thing happens. You have,
yeah, like I said, Reigns is obviously my winner here.
Reigns will definitely be a champion here. I don't know how long he would be champion, but definitely Reigns would definitely be my choice for this one.
And then, the one thing I will say is the only guy I didn't get on this card was Rob Van Dam. I totally forgot about him.
I'm certain that he'll be back at some point. Hopefully before Mania. I think it's actually being talked about internally right now is to have him back in time for Mania. Not sure what his role will be. I'm hoping it's not in the pre-show. But
oh God, that'd be retarded.
No. However, whom he would face? That's actually kind of an I don't know. Maybe a bag of weed on a pole match. Have a match between him and Swagger. Never know.
Have Sabu be at ringside.
RVD's role, I could see him facing like an up-and-coming guy, maybe to put him over or something. Thing is who?
Maybe Langston for the Intercontinental title if he's not facing Mark Henry.
Possibly, yes.
Okay, and then we got matchup number 7.
All right.
Which is John Cena versus Bray Wyatt.
Yes. A match I don't think it's WrestleMania worthy, but then again, you know what? I'm honestly just surprised that Cena is just not in the main event at WrestleMania 30.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Cena versus Wyatt, I can see Cena winning this one. I cannot see Cena losing on a bigger stage than WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, honestly, it's one of the things where I know they would probably have Cena win, but this is a match I have it down. Bray Wyatt would need that fucking win.
Yes, he would. But you know what? History has repeated. I mean, like, this kind of reminds me of SummerSlam 2010 when Nexus was facing WWE and how Nexus needed that win. And it never happened. So I'm thinking if history repeats.
They didn't get that big win until 2 months later.
Yep. And they need, and you know what, Wyatt needs this win. I mean, like, yeah, sure, he beat Bryan at the Rumble, which helped, which did help a little bit. But definitely this is something that Wyatt needs. But just for some reason, I just cannot see Cena losing at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And
it's just, who knows?
And apparently it's actually been confirmed now that Mark Crozer, the guy that does Wyatt's theme song, apparently he's actually going to be performing the theme song live at WrestleMania 30 there at
that could be nice and creepy
at the Superdome there. Yeah, which is something that I'm kind of intrigued by seeing because I mean it's going to be epic as fuck seeing that entire place just dark. Well, this sounds stupid, but it's going to be epic as hell seeing that entire place just dark.
Yeah, it's good. The Wyatt's entrance at WrestleMania is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be eerie. It's going to be creepy.
It's going to be 10 times creepier than anything we've seen on Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, look at Undertaker's entrances on Raw compared to any of his WrestleMania entrances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then matchup number 8 is probably the most unlikely. Like I said, this is a dream scenario. Triple H versus CM Punk.
A match, well,
that was apparently supposed to happen.
Yeah, and also it's something that, you know, it's being talked about right now. Like, you know, this is part of the reason why Punk left, or it has nothing to do with it, or it's the entire reason why he left. So again, we have no idea. But Punk versus Triple H is something that I was kind of confused by, because it's like, wait, the Authority's been feuding with Brian this entire time. Why is he competing against him? I mean, like, that didn't make any sense at all to me. But definitely I could see Punk going over in that one.
Yeah, definitely. Punk would have to win that one.
Triple H does not need the win. And if anybody says he would have just buried him, needs to get their head out of their damn ass, because Triple H... I've made this public. Triple H is my favorite. Like, number one.
Yeah.
Number two tie is Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, but Hunter is my number one. And I've said this time and time again. I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't bury. He has in the past. It's obvious. Look at Eugene.
Booker T.
But he doesn't bury everybody.
So, yeah, there are like so many people that people have claimed he's buried who he didn't.
Mm-hmm. He tapped out to Cena at WrestleMania.
He went like three or four straight WrestleManias putting people over.
There you go. He got kicked in the head by Orton at 24. And I mean, like, yeah, sure, he beat Orton at 25, but I mean,
everyone in that match was a loser. Come on.
Yeah.
Then matchup number 5 would be a no-holds-barred match between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar.
A matchup that I fear for Taker's health.
I would have had Undertaker Cena, but with everything that's happening with the whole Cena-Wyatt feud
illusion?
It's not an illusion. What the fuck am I even talking about?
You're thinking about the Guns N' Roses album?
Oh, don't play with my emotions. I love that album. Love Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Basically, you know, they've alluded to it and everything. And plus, I mean, then the next logical guy besides Cena for Undertaker to face is Lesnar. So, honestly, I honestly 100% think that Undertaker versus Lesnar is a match I want to see. It's a match I'm scared to see.
it's a match that's been talked about ever since they had that little altercation at UFC back in like 2010, I think.
Yes.
So yeah, it's definitely a match that's been rumored for a long time now. Didn't happen at 29. Well, they made sure that it did not happen at 27 because I think Dana White put him on Ultimate Fighter. And to, like, secure the fact that it would not happen. And then he never, I guess, re-debuted or whatever until the night after 28, faced Triple H at 29. So this year would be a good year to do it. But, see, like, again, the thing is, I want to see Cena versus Taker more than Lesnar versus Taker. Lesnar versus Taker, I would like to see. But my God, is Taker going to walk after the match is done?
It's the same question we ask every time Sable gets pregnant.
Oh my God.
You know, because Brock Lesnar's so much bigger than her and they have sex.
Yeah.
You know, because she. Yeah. Okay, you get it.
Yes, Caleb, I understand.
But basically, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Undertaker would win this.
Yes.
But my only issue with Undertaker, the only issue with having Lesnar face Undertaker is he loses. Lesnar's WrestleMania streak is 3-1.
He won at 19, lost at 20, and then he lost at 29. So wait, he's 1-3.
Did I say 3-1?
Yeah, he's 1-3.
Oh my God, I'm stupid.
He's 1-3.
I meant to say that. Yeah, if he faces
Mark Lesnar is 1-3 at WrestleMania, people.
Well, he's 1-2. If he faces Taker, he'd be 1-3.
Yes. Well, no, he's 1-3 because he's had 3 Mania matches.
Oh, you mean 1 out of 3? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was so confused by what you were saying. Oh shit. Alrighty. Then let's see. Matchup number 10, which would be the semi main event, is now just Cesaro and Hulk Hogan versus Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. Reasoning behind this match is simple. You get Cesaro over as fuck, you get Hulk Hogan helping a young guy get over, you get Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30. You get fucking Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter doing something. You get a good split up with the Real Americans. And not only that, Hogan and Coulter don't even have to wrestle. It can just be Cesaro and Swagger. And then at the end, Hogan hits the fucking leg drop on Coulter. Him and Cesaro do the fucking crowd Hulk Hogan gestures. Oh, yeah, brother. Eat your vitamins. Putting your hands up to your ear. All that shit. Cesaro becomes the most over fucking... he becomes one of the most over guys in the fucking company.
Yeah, there you go. I mean...
He's a much better tag team partner for Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania than Mr. T was.
Yes. Now, I remember when you first explained this to me, I believe a few months back. And, I mean, like, at first I was thinking, like, the fuck? Why would Hogan team up with Antonio Cesaro? Yeah, that's right. I'm going against the grain here. After you explained it to me, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, that would actually make sense. And you know what? It does. If they really wanted to push him strong after Mania, this would definitely be a good way to kickstart it. Because, I mean, like, you know, like, again, you're getting the rub from being in the ring with Hulk Hogan, a guy who's arguably the biggest name ever in wrestling history. So.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, one second.
What the hell are you doing now?
I'm tweeting someone.
You're just going to stall the audience?
Oh my, okay, I'm sorry, I had to respond to
they
someone.
They want to know what's, they want to know your card, Caleb, and you're just going to make them.
I'm play. Pretty sure they know what my main event is at this point.
They, Caleb, come on. You're
okay, my main event, them. Matchup number, god damn it, Jamie. Matchup number 11 is simple. Main event, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, triple threat match. Randy Orton defends against the Royal Rumble winner, Batista, who no one likes anymore for some reason, and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan wins the title. Everyone shuts the fuck up.
That one, apparently that's actually been talked about kind of internally because of, you know, I mean, right now, given the current state of how Punk, you know, just leaves. And, you know, I'm thinking with Punk leaving right now, it might turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Because, you know, now they're having to redo a bunch of stuff now that one of their top guys is gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely Brian could finally have his big moment at WrestleMania 30. Now, of course, eventually Batista will become champion. Obviously, he wouldn't have signed on for 2 full years if they didn't tell him that he was, or yeah, if they didn't tell him that he wasn't going to be champion. You get what I mean. But anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, Brian could definitely have his big moment at Mania 30. Batista, money is money to him. He'll still get that big WrestleMania check. And, you know, Randy Orton is Randy Orton. He's pretty much there until he's dead. So, yeah, there you go.
One thing I will say is, another thing I forgot about was, I was thinking about having Mysterio versus Sin Cara, but I just thought, no.
Only if they would have had Mystico.
Yeah, if it's Hunico versus Rey Mysterio, I'm cool with it. Like, but,
yeah.
Like, who? Oh, my. What am I saying? Not Hunico. It didn't need to be Hunico, like Hunico as Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Because that Sin Cara is actually good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember the original reasoning for them wanting to do this match is because they wanted to set a world record of them having, of everyone having the most masks in one entire event. And now, apparently, they're not even, like, now, apparently, that's not even on their, like, agenda. So really, I mean, like, there's really no point for this match to even happen because, you know, Mystico right now is pretty much gone.
Didn't he already, he completely, is his contract still up?
They're not returning any of his calls, apparently, last I heard. So, yeah, he's pretty much done. But yeah, the match, I mean, I wanted to see it at 28. Didn't happen because both guys were injured. 29 would have been a decent place to do it. Didn't happen. Now, if it doesn't even happen at 30, I don't even care. Honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
And then
yeah.
Also, I didn't say who I had to win the pre-WrestleMania Battle Royal where the winner gets a fucking title mid-card title shot on pay-per-view. And that person was Titus O'Neil.
There you go. That would actually be really good, and that would actually help his current push right now.
Yeah, and then my whole plan would be have him win the title off of Big E at fucking I don't even what didn't they rearrange the pay per views? So what is it? Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, Battleground, SummerSlam.
I believe right now it's Extreme Rules, Payback. Extreme Rules, Payback. Money in the Bank is now in June, apparently. Battleground is in July. I don't know why.
My birth month.
But they're having 2 pay-per-views in June. You see, now...
This is why the network is good.
You see, yeah, exactly. Now that the network is being done, 2 pay-per-views a month is all right. Because you're still paying for the same shit. So, that's good. So, if they want to go with 2 pay-per-views 1 month out of the entire calendar year, that's fine. Beforehand, yeah. I would have said no, stupid, but now it's okay.
And plus, I would have said Titus would win it at SummerSlam, but we're boycotting SummerSlam this year, so no. Which, we're not like idiots, it's not because of the current product, it's just because of personal bullshit,
yeah, it's just,
and we're
yeah.
boycotting it.
Well, yeah, I plan to. I made it public, so, yeah.
During Raw, I'm pretty sure I tweeted, fuck, 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 fuck. I believe I tweeted that.
I don't know if I saw that or not, because I probably would have remembered that.
I tweeted something. All I know is I had a tweet about it with a bunch of fucks in it.
Yeah. All right, but anyways...
We spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah. Anyways, though... And also, for the Battle Royal, you could have had Titus maybe last tossing out Darren Young.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would actually be kind of neat. So, yeah, but as for your card, I'm thinking it's good, and it would actually, you know, be worth paying for, too.
Yeah, like, it's not like I, even though I pay for WrestleMania every year, like, last year's probably wasn't worth the card money I paid.
I think it was worth the money just if we knew, like, you know, what the atmosphere would be like and, like, how the matches would actually play out, then...
Yeah.
Maybe not.
All right, but we've spent like 30 minutes on that, so let's move on to the movie we're reviewing, and that is Flight. Flight, 2012 film starring Denzel Washington. John Goodman's in it, who is one of my favorite actors ever. And basically, it's about this guy, and he's piloting a plane, and it starts fucking up, and he has to fly the plane upside down and land it. Six people die in the crash, and he hurts his eye and everything, and then it turns into this really... emotional drama about him struggling with his alcohol addiction and whether or not he was intoxicated on the flight, and just so much crazy just shit, and it's like he has to deal with personal problems and everything, and it's a really great movie. So Jamie, I'm going to start off with your thoughts on Flight.
Flight is a very good film because, I mean, like, you know, I compare Denzel's role in this one to The Rock's in Pain and Gain, because it was a role that you don't normally see the actor playing. Denzel Washington is usually like the badass hero guy with, like, you know, some pretty neat one-liner here and there. And, you know, he always just comes out as like the good guy in this one. But in this film, he kind of plays both parts. But he's mostly, I guess, the bad person in this film. But he's a bad guy that you want to see him do better. You want to see him overcome his addiction. And I think he played this role very, very well. He was in constant denial the entire film. You know, of course, up until the very end, which, you know, we won't spoil anything. But still, though, I thought that Denzel, he did a tremendous, tremendous job in this film. Definitely my favorite film of 2012. Second favorite would probably be The Avengers. But definitely Denzel Washington did a tremendous job in this role.
The thing is, it was 2012. This would be my favorite movie of 2012. If I didn't love Django Unchained, Seven Psychopaths, and The Avengers so much.
Well, there you go.
So it's my fourth favorite film of 2012. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Flight kind of gets lost in the shuffle, because 2012 had so many big titles that year. You know, like Django Unchained and The Avengers. So
21 Jump Street, American Reunion, The Hobbit.
Exactly. So Flight kind of got lost in there, but still, I think it's my favorite film of 2012.
Yeah, it's really, like, honestly, I was never interested in this movie, and until we decided to review it, I would have never watched it if we weren't going to review
it. Even if you don't like Denzel Washington, you still feel so bad for him in this. You just want him to overcome.
Yeah, like, I'm a person who, I've never liked Denzel Washington outside of Man on Fire. This movie was, like, really, like, I felt good. This dude is a really good actor. I never realized that.
Yeah, he's really good. Denzel Washington is my number one favorite. He's up there.
God, this movie is really fucking good. Jamie, what would you give this out of 10?
Oh, my God, I would give it a 9.
Yeah, same with me. I'd give it a 9.
Nine. So yeah, definitely, if you haven't seen Flight, check it out. It's on Netflix, I believe. So yeah, do it up.
It's pretty fucking good, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I thought it was an hour and a half, and when I turned Netflix on, it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes. I was like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. ...on fries, and...
Hello?
Yeah, I believe I didn't know what the runtime was of it. And I think we saw it at like 8 or 9. And like once we got out, it was nearing midnight. So I was like, holy shit, how long were we in there for? But yeah, I mean, like it was great.
Yeah, like I know from, you know, I've seen movies like The Wolf of Wall Street and shit in theaters. Like long movie, as long as the movie's good, like a little over two-hour movies, three-hour movies, they can be really entertaining. If they're the right kind of movie, they can easily be that long.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay. I remember seeing, and I still think to this day it's an overrated fucking movie, Avatar. I remember seeing that in theater.
Oh, fuck that movie.
I'm sorry, but just for me, I mean, like, a lot of people are probably thinking right now hearing this, are you fucking crazy?
If Sigourney Weaver wasn't in it, I wouldn't care.
Avatar was so good. I mean, like, yes, it was, I mean, like, yeah, sure, it was good. The effects were fantastic and everything, but I just think it's so overrated. I mean, I've only seen it once, and it was the one time I saw it in theaters, and that was it.
Maybe it's because I watched that movie on a 9-inch portable DVD player and not in the theater, but I could not stand that movie.
There you go. That's probably it.
But Irmagerner. Oh my God, Kane got a brutal injury. Oh no, that's
what?
Not good. No, not in real life. Not in real life. I'm talking about SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. Calm
what
down.
What are
people.
You talking about?
SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. Kane.
We're doing
roster.
A show and you're playing a game.
I usually yes. No, I'm not at all. I'm totally. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, Rise and Fall of ECW is a great documentary that you should all watch.
Oh, that's just random. Don't even just transition to our fucking documentary that
all
we're
right.
reviewing.
Well, now, let's talk about...
You're off today.
I'm not off. I've been really good. It's just these last couple seconds I've been off.
Oh, yeah. Blame it on the seconds.
I will blame it on the seconds. I can blame it on the minutes if I wanted to.
WWE has no problem doing that.
That's true. Okay. Now, basically, this is the Rise and Fall of ECW. Now, this is a set that we talked about on the show last week, and I've owned this for, like, a couple weeks, and I haven't had a chance to watch it. And Jamie kept telling me, this is so fucking amazing. It's, like,
it
one
is.
Of the best documentaries on there. And I was, like, I think it was, like, Friday or Saturday. It was Saturday. Saturday night, I just sat down, and I'd been watching season one of Hannibal, doing a bunch of shit. I sat down, popped in Rise and Fall of ECW, disc one. I started watching it, and it was like, and I was like, okay, this is going to be good, but I don't think it's going to be as good as Jamie was saying. Like, holy fuck, this is one of the greatest, if not my favorite documentary I've ever seen them put out. This shit is so amazing.
You see, people overrate this one, but it has a good reason behind it.
Yes. Oh, my fuck. This is a good-ass documentary.
I'm telling you right now, people, Rise and Fall of ECW, if you haven't seen it, and if you want to learn about wrestling that's not WWE, WWF related,
God.
This is for you. There isn't a thing they don't cover. Like, honestly, like I really cannot remember a thing that they left out. And, I mean, it's fantastic. It's like nearly three-hour documentary, rated TV mature, so Paul Heyman says fuck and shit.
Oh,
they
so
do
good.
Not. They do not bleep anything out. Nothing is censored. The entire documentary is basically a shoot. So if you want a three-hour shoot, this is it.
I mean,
they interview. Well, they don't get everybody, but they get a good majority of them. Like you have Jericho, Tommy Dreamer, Rob Van Dam, Steven Richards, Vince, Eric Bischoff, and of course Paul Heyman. You know, Benoit, Foley, Taz. You know, just. Dudley's great stuff.
Yeah, just honestly, I can't tell you. Plus, let's not forget that pre-dead Benoit was on this set. It was pretty
yes.
cool.
And also Eddie Guerrero as well.
Oh yes,
Mysterio.
So good. That is one thing I will definitely say is with ECW, It's true, though. They brought in the cruiserweight division for the wrestling, and then they had the main event guys for the hardcore stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yep. Oh, and also Spike, Nunzio, or
Nunzio, surprisingly, was on the set for some reason. Well,
yep.
Well, okay, not for some reason. I understand why he was, but I wasn't expecting him.
Rhino. So, yeah, like, they get a good majority of people on here, I'm telling you.
And this has shown me, I never knew about this promo beforehand, one of my new favorite promos ever from Heatwave 1999, when the Dudleys, some of the best heel work I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
This is where the uncensored shit comes in, people.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Like, they came out and said, look at this faggot in the Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, that mother on the front row taught her daughter how to suck dick. And then he threw beer in the face of this fat dude on the front row. It was so good.
Yeah, and I believe there's that one part there where, like, the fan actually wanted to jump the rail and attack him, and Bubba's like, come on and try something, you fat, bald motherfucker. Like,
if I was a promoter, if I was a fucking booker, I owned a wrestling company, I looked at my top heel tag team, I said, I'm giving you guys an open mic, go out there. If they went out there and they did that, amazing heel work, when they came back, I would probably kiss them on the lips. I would be so proud of it. I would give them
cut a promo on
$900 raise. Oh, I'd be so proud.
It was like some of the craziest stuff, man, I'm telling you. But definitely, Rise and Fall of ECW. It's great. I believe it's got about seven matches on here for extras. If I can just...
somewhere about that, seven matches.
Like here... you've got the Pitbulls versus Raven and Richards, 2 out of 3 falls dog collar match, Mysterio versus Psychosis, Mikey Whipwreck versus the Sandman ladder match for the world title, Too Cold Scorpio versus Sabu, Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. Those guys had a tremendous feud. Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow and Van Damme versus Jerry Lynn. Great stuff.
They won a Raven and Dreamers, right?
Yes.
Oh, so good. Oh, speaking of Raven, let's talk about one of my new favorite ECW storylines ever. Whenever Raven was dating Sandman's ex-wife or whatever in storyline, and like, oh my God, his son. Oh my God, it was so good. When his son was like, I don't love you anymore. You're a drunk. I worship Raven now.
Yeah, that was, all right. Like I said before, they covered everything, and that was one of the most emotionally driven storylines that they ever did, was the fact that Raven was involved with Sandman's ex-wife and, you know, kind of like warped his son's mind, I guess, if you want to say that. And it just made for some great storytelling. And, you know, of course, in the end, Sandman gets his son back. His son actually dressed up like Sandman. So, minus...
He wasn't smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, sadly.
Minus the cigarettes, minus the beer. So, it was great, great stuff. So, yeah, definitely Rise and Fall of ECW, one of the best documentaries that they have ever put out. So, I'm telling you right now, go out and get it.
Yeah, I agree. That is a seriously really, really good documentary that y'all should be checking out. Like I said, it might be my favorite documentary they've ever put out. I'm not sure, but it might be.
It's definitely
one of the best.
It's definitely one of my favorites. My favorite documentary that they have put out is the Stone Cold one from a few years ago. The one that's like 2.5 hours, I think. But definitely ECW's is right up there. That one and, you know, Austin's, I meant, and Shawn Michaels from 2007, I believe. Just awesome, awesome stuff.
Just, like I said, you just can't go wrong with this fucking documentary. It's EC fucking W. One of the greatest hardcore promotions I've ever fucking seen. One of my probably my second favorite company ever. It's so awesome.
Oh, and also, apparently, later on this year, they are going to be releasing a documentary on Paul Heyman.
Yes. Oh, in August.
And I, yes, and I am so fucking excited for that one. That one is going to be great. Apparently, Tommy Dreamer was recently, apparently he recently stated that that he was called in for some, for an interview on that. So, I mean, we're going to get new shit on that, and yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, this is one of the few times that they have done a documentary on a non-wrestler.
This is the first manager to get a documentary since Bobby the Brain. And we're not talking about the retarded guy on Twitter.
But, yes, anyways, Heyman getting his first one. I mean, it's Heyman getting his first one. It's his only one, probably. But still, but, you know, the one thing I am really looking forward to is the extras that they are going to have on there.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking, like, promos, maybe, like, certain matches that he was involved in.
Called?
Maybe,
probably one of the matches from WrestleMania 17.
Yes, that one. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if maybe the match with Lesnar and Hunter from last year's Mania would be on there because Heyman did take a super kick from Shawn Michaels. So yeah. But definitely, it's a documentary I have very, very high hopes for, because it seems like each year they release one around the end of summer, fall time, and that always blows everyone's mind. Like Austin's was in 2011, CM Punk was in 2012, Triple H was last year, and it looks like this year it's going to be Paul Heyman.
2013 had so many good ones.
They did, actually. You had Hunters, you had Foley's. Believe those are the only two that I got. But yes.
So, in WWE, that's not really it. Yeah, that would count on.
Yeah. A really, really weak one they had was Top 25 Rivalries. That's...
Oh, you were on a Skype call with me when I was watching that.
Yeah. I don't think the host was right. I mean, Renee Young is good, but I don't think she was the right person to do it.
And why was she wearing a long coat?
Because they had, like, that stupid, like, chemistry thing, theme going on there.
It's pretty fucking stupid.
So, yeah, basically, there was a little bit of a gimmick to it, which I thought wasn't needed. And also, they were only interviewing one person for each rivalry.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Which is, I mean, just a little things like that just kind of bug me. Because like, all right, Road Dogg wasn't the only person that watched, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels have a feud. Or the only
fucking, yes.
To watch, you know, Rock and Austin have a feud. So.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, that DVD could have been a lot better. I don't know.
Pretty good though.
I watched it on Netflix, so I don't know what matches were on there.
Let me see here. Yes, that's right, folks. I just pulled DVDs off the shelf mid-show. What are you gonna do about it? All right. You had two matches from ECW. You had Taz and Sabu. And you had another Tommy Dreamer versus Raven match.
Ooh.
Let me see. You have Rock and Hunter from Backlash 2000. Kurt Angle versus Lesnar from SummerSlam in 2003.
Ooh.
Austin versus Rock from Rebellion 2001.
I didn't know that match existed.
I believe that was one of the UK pay-per-views.
I mean, I know the pay-per-view. I just was not aware of that match.
Yeah. Let me see. You had Taker and Mankind, but not their Hell in a Cell match. This is from King of the Ring 1996.
Yeah, because they actually had two different matches at King of the Ring.
Yes. And they also have Hogan and Piper, so yeah. The matches on it, They're decent, but as for, like, the entire set and, like, the countdown itself, I mean, like, it's okay, but I really wish that they wouldn't have thrown on a gimmick on this.
Yeah, it was so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we now move on, and we're moving on. I don't know why I'm singing.
Why are you singing?
But we're moving on. I'm sorry. I just had to, I don't know. Fucking fuck. Now we will move on to, I guess we're doing the top five.
Yes.
Why wouldn't we do the top five? Top five, this is kind of random, top five WrestleMania matches. This is a mix of favorites and what we think. Because this is a mix of, like, well, I love every match of mine. It's really a total fucking mix. Like, you know, but still. Like, this isn't necessarily the order I like them in. Well, except for number one. But still, it's just basically whatever. I'm just going to stop talking, and I'm going to go.
All right.
And with my top five WrestleMania matches, what I think, you know, you guys are going to hate me for number one. Fucking number five, WrestleMania 12, and that, my friends, is Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. 60-minute Iron Man match for the WWF Championship, daddy. First ever Iron Man match, went into overtime. Some of the best chemistry I've ever seen. Possibly the best match I've ever seen from either of these guys. Probably my favorite Bret match. Ah, this match was so fucking good. I mean, seriously, it was the first ever 60-minute Iron Man match, and there was one pinfall, and it wasn't even in the first hour. It was awesome. There's so many good spots, so many memorable spots. Shawn Michaels winning this championship, not only did it need to happen, not only was it the right move, but it was one of the greatest WrestleMania moments in history.
And
it was an amazing moment.
And it also provided us with one of the most iconic sound bites ever. The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn
Michaels. With that amazing scene of Shawn with the title around his waist with his fists in the air leaning against the ropes.
Yes, it was a perfect, perfect moment. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, like,
that was,
it was great.
So amazing. It was real. It was seriously one of the best.
And also, who could ever forget the zipline entrance?
Oh, so good.
Actually,
I almost made it, you know, this went back before ziplines, you know, so did that thing.
Yeah. Actually, Shawn Michaels actually recently did a podcast thing because WWE right now is doing, I'm not sure if this is like a weekly thing or if this is just like a one-time special, but they did a special podcast one show with Shawn Michaels, and he said apparently he found out he was going down on that zip line the day of. So he has like no clue like besides, you know, doing that match, he had no clue that he was going down on that zip line.
Oh, that's awesome. And then number four is what a lot of people consider the greatest WrestleMania match ever, and that is Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 3. This match is one of the greatest matches of all time, one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, one of the greatest Intercontinental Championship matches of all time.
One of the most
inspiring
matches of all time as well.
Oh, yes. This match is so good. And this is one of those things where Ricky Steamboat, I feel like he's an underrated wrestler. Like, I feel like people don't ever talk about Ricky Steamboat besides this match.
He really doesn't. I mean, like, the last time that he was really, I guess, featured immensely was in 2009 when, of course, when he got his Hall of Fame induction, and he would then go on to have that amazing one-on-one match with Jericho or Backlash.
Yes, and I don't care what anyone says at the WrestleMania match. That match was not good. I don't care if Jericho and Steamboat put on like a two-minute clinic. The first like 10 minutes of that match when he was facing Snuka and Piper were horrendous.
Yeah, Snuka and Piper didn't... I mean, like... Well, I think they were originally supposed to have Jericho versus Mickey Rourke, but that never happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. So, you know, like, again, they had to, like, change plans up. Snuka and Piper, I mean, I don't really think Snuka was really the best choice, but, you know, again, the match was what it was. But still, Steamboat could prove that he could still go. at I mean, like, a guy of that age, he could still move.
Yeah, and it was just, like I said, it was basically just for Steamboat. But then, like I said, WrestleMania, or I almost said WrestleMania 4. Fourth on this list was, of course, WrestleMania 3 match between Savage and Steamboat. One of just the best matches ever. One of the overall just best worked matches ever. I love it. And I've also heard that Steamboat used to get irritated because Savage would, like, call him in the middle of the night being like, hey, man, what are we going to do, man? I got this idea for a spot in the match. And that's just awesome. It shows how dedicated Macho Man was. I love it. Number 3 on this list is, oh, I can't wait to hear Jamie go, ugh.
I have a feeling which
you
one
know what it is.
Yeah, I know exactly
from
which
WrestleMania
one it is.
18, God. The Rock versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Overrated.
Oh, no, no. This match is, the crowd was electric. Oh, I love this match so much. It's so fucking awesome. It was one of probably one of the best Hulk Hogan WrestleMania match, the best Hulk Hogan WrestleMania match in my opinion. And, you know, one of the best Rock WrestleMania matches. It's so good. Just the electricity. If the crowd had been shitty, like it wasn't No Way Out 2003, like they had a shitty match at No Way Out 2003 because the crowd was shitty. I don't know if it was the crowd that made this match, but this match was awesome. And then the ending with Hogan raising up Rock's hand, like, hey, brother, he's the guy. Then
yeah,
I thought that was
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, even though he ended him 4 months later.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, one thing I do not understand, what was the point of Hogan losing to Rock and then winning the title the next month?
I have no idea.
It was so stupid. It just, like, I feel like they just killed everyone's fucking momentum. It was so dumb.
Yeah,
it really didn't make
much sense.
Yeah. And then number 2 on this list is, of course, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 26.
I had a feeling you were going to do that.
Yeah, because I don't care. I know a lot of you are going to fucking kill me for it. I think the WrestleMania 26 match is better than the WrestleMania 25 match. The WrestleMania 25 match is one of the best matches I've ever seen. The 26 match, nothing can match that emotional feeling in that match. It was so amazing. Epic. Awesome. Just awesome. It was Shawn Michaels' final match. It will be his final match. He's not fucking coming out of retirement. It was awesome. It was just that match, just the emotion behind it was amazing, even though the WrestleMania 25 match was amazing as well.
Yeah, I remember...
The 26 one was better.
Yeah, I just remember I was watching with some friends of mine, and like they kept saying, like, dude, this is Shawn's last match. You just got to accept it. And I kept on saying, fuck off. It's not his last match. I kept on saying, no, shut up. He is going to end the streak. I was saying, fuck the streak. I don't care. He is not losing. But, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I love that fucking match. And I'm not disrespecting the WrestleMania 25 match. I just think this match is better. And then number 1. Oh, how you people will hate me for number 1. Now, this isn't a match that people hate, but this is a match that, fuck. I dropped my phone. Okay, shit. Sorry.
It must be so bad that your phone doesn't even want you to tell you.
Number 1, if you know me, if you know Jamie, you know what my number 1 is, don't you?
You know what? I honestly don't.
It's my favorite match of all time.
I don't think I've heard her. You know what? I'm stumped.
The Rock versus Stone Cold.
Oh, yes.
WrestleMania 19.
Okay, yes. All right.
Now, here's the thing. I know that people are going to be like, their 17 match was better. I don't care. I know a lot of people are going to crucify me because, Jericho and Shawn wasn't on this list. And fucking Benoit, Triple H, and Michaels wasn't on this list. And just Angle and Michaels were on this list. So much shit. And I know. But you can only have one top 5. I guarantee you, if this was a fucking top 50, those matches would all be on it. In, like, the top 20 of it, for Christ's sake. One day, I will probably make a top 50, and you can all look at it and read it, and you will be like, oh, man, he didn't leave any matches off. Because it's a top 5, there are a lot of fucking amazing matches I had to leave off, so excuse me. But Rock and Austin WrestleMania 19 is my personal favorite ever, so of course I'm going to have it at number 1 on the fucking top 5 WrestleMania matches ever. This match was awesome. It was epic. It's Stone Cold's final match ever. It was The Rock's really, like, second. It was his last WrestleMania as a full-time competitor, really. Wasn't it? Wait, no, that might have been, I don't know. I think I'm wrong with that. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I said that it was his last pay-per-view as a full-timer, but that was SummerSlam 02, so I was wrong.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's...
This was Stone Cold's final match ever, though.
And he almost died, like, the morning of.
Yes, the day... Yes, the day before, he was not feeling right, and he had to be rushed to the hospital, and, like... You know, like, as a kid, I had no idea that that fucking happened. I had no clue until, I believe it was on the WrestleMania 20 DVD. I believe this was like their first attempt at like a WWE Films project, and it was like the Mania of WrestleMania.
Yes, that's a good ass. That was so good.
It was. It's like a 40, 45 minute show there, and when they said that, like, you know, hey, Stone Cold had to be rushed off to the hospital, I'm like, what? Like, my job.
Whenever you almost
like,
die the day before, like, one of your final match and probably one of your best matches ever, then my hat is off to you. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure people are going to be like, well, this match doesn't deserve to be number one. The match of WrestleMania 17 was better. So many other better matches. I don't care. This is my fucking top five.
No, like,
if you think
again,
you can make a better top five, you pay money to Blog Talk Radio. You make your own goddamn top five. I don't give a shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean...
Jay, say something stupid.
Okay, Brock. Anyways, is it my turn?
Did you hear my Brock Lesnar scream?
Yes, I heard your damn Lesnar scream.
I just want to make sure everyone heard it.
Yes, yes, but it's not as good as the authentic one.
It's not.
All right. So my top five Mania matches, I just want to throw in an honorable mention because I honestly didn't know like which one lost out. But I just want to make two honorable mentions. And this is all based on preference. It's not based on like historical significance, but just my personal favorites. My first honorable mention, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21.
Oh, so good.
That match, fucking epic, does not get talked about enough. And apparently, now, again, this is from like the Shawn Michaels podcast thing that they did there. Both guys did not have a single plan for that match.
Oh, shit.
They didn't plan a single thing. They just went in there and just did it. And my hat's off to both guys.
That match is really good.
They put on an incredible match. Now, maybe the finish was planned, like, you know, who would win.
Oh, yeah.
But incredible match. And, again, the match does not get talked about enough. I mean, it was so good. I mean, like, the spot Michaels just, you know, doing the, I guess it was like a crossbody of some sort, you know, like... You know, like, on Angle, going over the table, both guys just, you know, just going over. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And my second one, and a lot of people are probably going to think, what the fuck? But, you know, again, personal preference.
I think I know what it's going to be, if I'm right.
Shawn Michaels versus Mr. McMahon, WrestleMania
22. I knew it! I'm sorry.
Shawn Michaels, Mr. McMahon, WrestleMania 22. This was Vince McMahon's best match in WWE, hands down.
Second favorite. Well, yeah, it's my I don't know what I'm saying tonight. I'm gonna shut up now.
Now, of course, you know, going into the match, a lot of people probably didn't really know what to think. Maybe like, maybe this match might be good. Maybe like, you know, it might suck. Whatever. Shawn Michaels made Vince McMahon look like a million bucks. Not that Vince wasn't worth $1 million, but
worth more than that.
Yeah, but this is Vince's best match, and I mean everything was so enjoyable. JR's commentary was priceless. I mean, just with like the Spirit Squad being involved, you had Shane being in there. Shane joining the Kiss My Ass Club.
Oh, so good.
Yes, and, you know, Sean landing one of the most wicked chair shots I've ever seen. Just one of the loudest chair shots I've ever heard. Vince bleeding like a Sid. I mean, and, you know...
Like a Sid?
I, I got that reference from J.R. King one time.
Okay.
And, you know, I just remember just like with Vince just being, you know, like on the table in the trash can, not knowing when he was going to be hit. So he was probably sitting there just thinking like, all right, anytime now.
Fucking do it already, Sean.
Yep, pretty much. But, you know, Shawn Michaels and Vince had a tremendous match. One of my favorites, best Vince match ever. Go back and watch it. And, you know, again, a lot of you are probably thinking, what the fuck?
So you think it's better than his match with Hogan?
You know what? I would say yes.
It's a tie for me. I love those two matches so much, I can't decide.
Well, Shawn Michaels oversold the hell
out. Oh, do you think I'm talking about Shawn's match with Hogan?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Vince's match with Hogan.
Oh, Vince's match with Hogan. Oh, sorry.
It's cool.
It would be better, I think. As much as I did like Hogan and Vince's match, because they actually surprised me. But I will say, I enjoy watching Shawn versus Vince more than Hogan versus Vince. So, now, on to my actual top five. Number five, this was mentioned in Caleb's, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage, WrestleMania 3, one of the most inspirational matches in WrestleMania history, inspired guys like Chris Jericho. I mean, just a fantastic match. And this match proved you don't have to be the main event to steal the show.
Yes, this match, that's true. As amazing as the main event that night was.
Mm-hmm. This match stole WrestleMania 3 in front of 93,000 people. I mean, it was great. Number four, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold from WrestleMania 13.
Oh, that's one I left off.
One of the best matches in Mania history. A match that ultimately changed the direction of both guys. The greatest double switch in WWE history. You had Bret Hart turning heel, Stone Cold Steve Austin turning face. Now, I'm not saying that they tried to recreate the magic with Del Rio and Ziggler last year, but but still, Bret Hart, Stone Cold had an amazing match. Austin, just like that visual of him bleeding and just not giving up. He doesn't tap out. He passes out. He's that much of a badass. Just does not give up in that hold. And Austin would then go on to become arguably the biggest star that WWE's ever had.
Top three biggest stars ever.
Yep. Number three, Rock versus Stone Cold from WrestleMania 17. Oh.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
That kind of attitude here.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rock versus Austin from 17. Great match. I believe it was declared to be a no DQ match right beforehand. Well, I mean, like, it was probably pre-planned. But still, those guys went out there and had a tremendous match, kicking out of each other's finishers, stealing each other's finishers. These guys made stealing finishers look cool.
That's why they did it at all three WrestleManias. They competed against each other out.
Oh, yeah. And their 17 match was great. Some people question the ending with Austin nailing Rock with the chair and then Vince just being there and, like, them shaking hands and Austin turning heel. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. Austin's heel run was hilarious.
Two-man power trip. That's all I'm saying.
Two-man power trip. Austin and Triple H. So much epicness right there. But anyways, the Rock and Austin match from 17, fucking great. Like I said, some people question the ending, but still, I thought that it was a great match nonetheless. I don't let the finish of a match ruin it for me. So
that's,
there you go.
That you shouldn't. Look at Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode from Bound for Glory last year.
There you go.
That finish was awful, but it was a great match.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 25.
Oh, we did not plan this, folks. We're that much of assholes to each other.
All right, Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker from WrestleMania 25, the match that saved 25, I think.
Oh, yes, it did.
Those guys had, I mean, such a tremendous match. My favorite Undertaker WrestleMania match, period. Second favorite would probably be his match with Ric Flair at 18.
I really love that match.
I really do. That 18 match was so good. I have no idea why.
Oh, the spot where Arn Anderson did the spine buster. Oh my God.
I was not expecting that. That was so good. But anyways, Shawn Michaels versus Taker, WrestleMania 25, a match no doubt stole the show. That's why I felt bad for guys like Cena and Big Show and Edge and Triple H and Orton that had to follow that.
Oh, yeah.
Which explains why Triple H and Orton, why the crowd was so dead. And even Triple H says this in his DVD. You know, like, he loved the match between Michaels and Taker, but he was basically flicking them off in his mind saying, fuck you for making me follow that. So, yeah. But what more can you say about this match? Fucking tremendous. Those guys went on to 26, had a fucking fantastic match. I prefer 25. That's where Caleb and I clash, but still.
We clash with many opinions of WrestleMania matches.
Yes, but their 25 match was fucking epic, great, just awesome. Just go back and watch it. It's on YouTube there somewhere, or wait until the network gets here.
Yeah, just wait for the fucking network.
And my number one match, and Caleb...
Is it Rock and Cena from WrestleMania 29?
Gee, Caleb, how did you know? But no, it isn't. Anyways, my number one WrestleMania match... Caleb, do you have any idea what this one might be?
I think I do, and I will let you know if you say it.
WrestleMania 20, Chris Benoit,
yep.
Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. Best triple threat match ever. A match that I can go back and watch over and over and over again and never get bored of it. It was on the very first WrestleMania 20 was the very first DVD I ever owned. Or DVD set, I guess, and it was so good. So good, people. Go back and watch it.
It is a really good match.
It's great. And of course, you know, like, it gets overshadowed a lot because of, you know, who's in it. But still, just go back and watch it. Wait until the network gets here. Skip over that disclaimer and watch it. It's going to be great. All right, so yeah.
That's a really good match.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go, man. So, yeah, those are very, like I said, honestly, all the matches we named are great matches.
Oh, yeah.
There's no denying that.
So much. I mean, like, people...
Doesn't matter. Opinions may clash, but at the end of the day, those are all fucking amazing matches.
Oh, yeah. People, do not go with either or's countdown. Watch them all. Just watch them all.
Yeah.
Have a fucking...
Watch every WrestleMania. Watch all the shitty matches, too.
Yeah. Don't binge watch every WrestleMania. You'll be sitting there for hours. And you need to stretch. Because your knees get cramped.
Dude, I know. I was, like, the other day, I was, like, sitting at my desk a lot for, like, 2 hours doing shit. And when I stood up, my knees were, like, so pain. It's so pain. What the fuck?
So pained?
So pained.
Alrighty. We got about 10 minutes left here. Did you want to...
We spent a lot of time doing shit tonight.
We did. Might as well just... discuss Raw, I guess, for the last few minutes.
Should we wait for the big announcement until the end of the show?
I guess we can cover it now.
Okay. Well, if you don't know, you're currently listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. Well, here's the thing. Next week, we're going to be doing it on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we're doing it on Blog Talk Radio. And that will not only will 2 weeks from tonight, not only will that be the season finale of season 2 of CNC Reviews, but the next week... the season 3 premiere will be airing on YouTube.
Yes, people, we're leaving live radio. I know.
We're going to the podcast business, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds heartbreaking, people, but trust me, it's what's best for business.
Yes, indeed, it is best for business. And not only that, a lot of shit is going to be happening. You're going to get, in the next couple weeks, you're going to get a lot more information because we were 3 weeks from the actual debut of us on YouTube. You'll know the YouTube channel will be on, and you'll have a lot of exclusive content. Like, Jamie, you're doing something special on the YouTube. Why don't you tell the people what you're doing?
Yes, for those of you that know him, I will be joining Kyle Evans, who's also known as Reddit K13. Yeah, and I will be doing a show with him covering the events of Raw and basically any huge-ass wrestling news of that week. And, yeah, we're going to be doing that. So I'm going to be making my epic triumphant return to YouTube, even though I'm still kind of on there.
And not only that, but we have another third exclusive program out of our three weekly programming, and that is it's me. It's not DDP. It's Caleb Bryce Johnston. And
yeah, Caleb is going to be getting Caleb time.
Oh, that's what it's going to be called. It'll be Caleb time.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And that means that every week you will get after CNC reviews, which also, by the way, no more time limits. We're going to be breaking 90 minutes sometimes, ladies and folks, because, hey, tonight we had to cut out some content we were going to talk to you guys about. We had to cut out a review of a pay-per-view. But guess what? We won't have to do that anymore once we're on the YouTubes. And you will get a weekly top 10 from me every single week. It'll be Caleb time. It'll be me for like 10 minutes telling you top 10 shit. It's going to be entertaining as fuck.
You will be getting a weekly top 10 each week from me. You think maybe you covered that when you said weekly?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Okay, well, nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, and if you want to know what the top 10s are about, it's not anything specific. It is fuck. Headphones got caught in the door. Oh, fuck, it did again. Fuck.
What did Caleb
do?
Caleb, what are you doing?
I don't know. Anyway, nonetheless, like I said, folks, these top 10s, it's not about just one thing. It is about everything I love. It's about movies and games and shows and wrestling and everything good. And not only that, but every once in a while, you'll just get a rant. And also, hey, look, I'm watching The Following. None of my friends watch The Following. If we were still on Blog Talk, I would have to force Cameron to binge watch The Following so we could review it on the show. Well, guess what? Now, when The Following season 2 is over, I'm going to review it in a video. How fucking sick is that? You're going to get random reviews from Caleb. You're going to get weekly top 10 and CNC reviews. You're going to get so much Caleb time every week, more than you can handle for your ears to listen to.
Just what the world needs. More of Caleb.
Ah, yes. That's what the world needs. More Caleb. The world needs more Caleb penetrating people's ears with his voice.
Caleb.
Only I can make that sound so sexual.
We have a few minutes left. Should we just briefly talk about Raw?
Let's very, very briefly talk about Raw. What,
yeah.
The Shield stared down the Wyatt, which was the best part.
Betty White was there. She said that she was going to kick some ass, which I fucking laughed at.
She made Billy Gunn shit himself.
That was kind of awkward, but it was all right. Let me see. Yeah, people, this is just how exciting Raw has become. We actually have to backtrack in our mind what actually happened.
What was this, 2 nights ago? I don't remember shit.
No, I don't remember a damn thing. John Cena faced Randy Orton for the upteenth time. In which, I must say, they had a slightly above average Raw main event, I must say. Better than their Rumble match, I must say. And of course, you know, Cena, he ends up getting the win on that one. So Orton is kind of bouncing back and forth between wins right now. He's facing Cesaro on SmackDown this week.
Cesaro.
Haven't read the spoilers yet, so you're going to have to see who wins that one. Or who knows? Maybe I'll actually not read the spoilers and watch SmackDown this week. Never know.
I think I watched last week's for some reason.
I haven't watched a full episode of SmackDown probably since December.
I don't care about SmackDown anymore.
And before then, I didn't watch a single episode of SmackDown since 2011, 12. So yeah, there you go. I usually watch the clips on YouTube just to get like a feel of what it is. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, Raw was fascinating, but it wasn't terrible.
It really wasn't. wasn't that bad.
No, but usually the time period between the Rumble and the Chamber is kind of like, I guess, I'm not even sure if this is a cliche or not, but, like, usually the road to WrestleMania is kind of bumpy at this point.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, again, they're just trying to get shit set up for it. Batista versus Del Rio has been confirmed. And, you know, we all know that Del Rio is being fed to Batista. They still haven't said that the Shield versus Wyatt will be taking place inside the Chamber, even though it should. But
last year, I thought their six-man tag team match last year was taking place in the Chamber until they started entering and it wasn't in the Chamber.
You see, the option has been open for us to do that in the games for years, but yet they will not do it on TV. This is the second chance that they've had to do it, and they won't do it. Unless if they surprise us next Monday, which I think would be fucking sick. But, but still, right now, I still fully expect for the Wyatts to go over the Shield. And as for the Chamber match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, right now I'm thinking it's going to be Orton still.
If my booking plan for the title match, Orton winning is completely fine. Because then if they kind of screw over Bryan, not screw him over, but have Bryan, I don't know how he would screw. Maybe his foot was on the rope or some shit. And then they put him into the match at WrestleMania.
I remember back, I think, like 2008, they had Cena defeat Randy Orton for him to be included in the match at Mania 24.
A really good idea.
Maybe they could have Bryan maybe go against Batista because they've done Bryan and Orton. I think they did it last week.
Look at what Michaels and Cena did. They just signed the contract with their name on it.
This is also true. And, like, maybe they could redo what they did with Benoit and Michaels.
Michaels, that was really good.
Michaels could just superkick Benoit and just sign his name. Bryan could maybe knee out Batista and just sign his name. Never know. But you know what? If they do end up doing a triple threat match at Mania 30, I'm telling you right now, that will generate so much more interest right there.
Because even though I like both guys, I really don't want to see Orton and Batista one-on-one.
Me neither, not really. And also, like, with Bryan there, can you imagine 70, 80,000 people doing yes?
Oh, it's going to be so awesome.
Like, that is going to be epic. Just absolutely. All right.
So let's get our plugs out of the way. We've only got a little bit left, so, James.
All right. People, you can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Lee Mack, and that's it.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kate. I almost said my backup account, at The Awesome Clark. My backup account doesn't matter. Follow the show's account at EV of Radio. Don't follow my dog. No one follows my dog. I don't have any other accounts, so, yeah. Then, fuck. I don't think we have anything else to fucking plug because we haven't announced where you can subscribe to us on YouTube yet, but we will. I guarantee you on the season finale in 2 weeks, we will completely be like, subscribe.
Oh, yes, we will. We will be we'll just be like what any poor YouTuber would have done in the very beginning, and that's beg for subscriptions.
Oh, yeah, man, we're going to be making that Smosh money in no time.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be like Ray Johnson here pretty soon and have our own studio.
Oh, yeah, man, just wait for, I don't know what I was going to say. But like I said, you never know. Like I said, you're going to get a lot of, besides the three exclusive shows and my random reviews on the YouTube channel, you're going to get a lot of exclusive content that you guys are going to fucking love. Look forward to that. But like I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is not our last one on Blog Talk, and we have two more on here. So just look forward to that as our season finale. Thanks for listening tonight, guys. I hope you have a great day. Don't kill yourselves because that's not okay. And I love you all. I love your faces.
Hey,
I'll see you next week. Plagiarism.